if you grew up in the early 90s, or even, I guess you didn't even have to, if you're just a fan of Disney, you probably would remember the scene. One of the scenes that probably annoyed me the most when I was watching is from the movie Beauty and the Beast. And the scene is very early on where Belle, the princess, right, her father Maurice, he's an inventor. So he built this thing, and they got all excited, so he's going to go out to the fair and submit his invention. And so he gets on his horse Philippe, and they are heading towards this fair. And so they leave home, and Belle's like, oh, good luck, father, blah, blah, blah. And so they're leaving home, and he's going down, and the scene is he's in this fork in the road, and he's looking at his map, and he's a little unsure of where to go. And so you go, if you look at one side, it's bright, and it's sunny, and there's birds chirping, and even the soundtrack is just soothing and happy. Right, and then you look at the other side, it's dark and it's gloomy, and the soundtrack is just kind of scary. And he's looking at this, goes, "I think that," he goes, "this is a shortcut." And he's looking at the gloomy road. And one, I'm like, I don't even know how this works, because it's just a fork, and all of a sudden there's sunshine on one end, and it's just complete darkness on the other end. I don't know how that works, right? And but for everybody, even the horse knows, you go down the place where there's like sunshine and happiness. Why are you deciding to go down this gloomy road? But this guy, Maurice, just decides that he feels like, according to his map, this dark and gloomy road is the shortcut. Right? So what does he do? He forces the horse to go down this road, gets attacked by a pack of wolves, and in the middle of that, the thing that annoyed me the most, he goes, "Where did you bring us, Philippe?" I'm like, dude, the horse did nothing. You told him that he wanted to go the other way. You're the one that wanted to go this way. Now you're trying to blame ship on this horse? Come on, man. It's a horse. And so it's one of the things that just bothered me the most. Where this guy does not listen to anything. You know, doesn't listen to the soundtrack. Doesn't listen to his eyes. Doesn't listen to his horse. Decides to go down this path. Well, we're in Proverbs chapter 9, and it's a bit like a fork in the road for the book. Proverbs has been a conversation between a father and a son. Right, with the father, he's imparting wisdom to his son. So, you know, just as a reminder, this is kind of written to youth. Because there's a father telling his son what to do, how to think, what wisdom is, how to embrace wisdom. And as we see that with the way that wisdom is presented, it's not just like a single action. It's not just one thing you do. It's actually something to be embraced. It is something to infuse your life with. It's not something that you can just put in and remove as you desire. Wisdom is something that is like, that is infused into your life. It's like baking a cake. You put all the ingredients together and it comes out something completely different. But you don't go back to a cake that's already baked and decide, I'm going to remove the eggs. I'm going to remove the sugar. You know, I put too much flour, so I'm going to try to take some of the flour out. That's not how it works. And wisdom isn't something you just add and remove. It's actually something that's infused into your life. And we have seen that Proverbs. Jesus, by his very nature and being, is the embodiment and personification of wisdom. So when we talk about wisdom in Proverbs, the wisest person in this world is Jesus. The wisdom that they talk about in Proverbs is the wisdom that Jesus has been sharing. So wisdom is that Jesus is the personification and embodiment of wisdom. Right? It's by his very nature and being. So to know wisdom is to know Jesus. To experience the great benefits of listening to wisdom is to actually understanding Jesus as the source of wisdom and listening to him. They're not separated. And so this isn't just a wisdom that's found in the Father because maybe he's, you know, old and wise. It isn't his wisdom. The wisdom is far beyond him. It is a wisdom that has been grounded in Jesus. So here we are in the road. And the father now presents two people, Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. And we see that wisdom calls us to a rich, satisfying, intimate life with her, and folly invites us into death. Wisdom's invitation is a rich, satisfying, intimate relationship, and folly ultimately actually leads us to death. So this morning, it's just really simple. It's not a very difficult concept to grasp, per se. We're called to choose wisdom over folly. We're called to choose wisdom over folly. Here's the thing, the choices we make reflect the path that we decide to take. Right, so our choices aren't just these independent choices. The choices affect where we're going. Right, the choices reflect the path we decide to take. It points towards a direction, a destination. So the question is, will we embark on the path of wisdom and dine at her table, or will we choose folly? And that's kind of the question that we're asking today. Will we want to embark on the path of wisdom or choose folly? Now, when we ask it that, if we ask it that way, it seems like a slam dunk. If wisdom calls us into life and folly calls us into death, that's a pretty easy question to answer. Why on earth would anyone choose death over life? Why wouldn't anybody want wisdom over folly? Nobody wants to be the fool. Everyone wants to be the wise person. That's not a difficult question to ask. Yet, while we look at this and we might say the choice is simple, and for us logically or intellectually the choice is simple, everybody here probably wants to be wise. I don't think anybody here says that they want to be a fool or want to make foolish decisions. I don't think anybody says, I want to make choices that destroy myself and other people. That's just not how we are. Innately, that's not how we're designed. We want to make wise and good choices. But yet, time and time again this morning, many of us are prone to choose folly over and over again. We constantly forget our choices today determine our consequences for tomorrow. So we hit this fork on the road in this passage. So let us look and stop and think about our own fork in life and choose carefully which road we want to take. So let us go ahead together. Sorry, I'm a little bit sick today. And we're going to go ahead and read chapter 9 together, all of chapter 9 in Proverbs. And it says this, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abused, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wiser for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. The woman's folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest place of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. So the father here, who's imparting wisdom on his son, starts talking about these two women, Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, both beckoning the simple to their houses. So let's take a look at these two women to see where the similarities are, right? First, they're both in the high places of town. That's where they both reside. The high place is typically where the temple lies. It's a place of authority. This is a place of worship. They're both in the high places. Second, they're both in houses. Third, they both laid out food. They laid out a meal. And fourth, they're seeking the same people, the uncommitted people, uncommitted to whether they'll choose wisdom or folly. The people that are on this road, and here they are on the fork, and they have two voices calling out to them. And they're seeking out the uncommitted people, the ones they call wise or gullible. And they have the same message. Whoever is simple, let him turn here. But that's pretty much where the similarities end. Because Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly offer two very different conclusions to their invitations. Lady Wisdom offers life, and she will openly share this, as we see in verse 6. But Lady Folly hides the fact that her offer leads to death, as we see in verse 18. So let us look at the differences between Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, and ultimately the implications and applications for our own life. First thing we're going to do, so what we're going to do is we're just compare those two. We're going to say that middle part, verse 7 through 12, for the very end. And we'll talk a little bit about that at the end. So let's look at verse 1 through 6 and then 13 through 18 as we compare Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. So first we see Lady Wisdom is intentional in her actions, but Folly takes advantage. Wisdom is intentional, Folly takes advantage. All right, so we see that Lady Wisdom, she's intentional in her actions. She's built this large house with seven pillars. Commentators and theologians differ on the meaning of this. But what we do know, a couple of things. One, seven represents perfection. But two, seven pillars is showing great wealth and a massive place. Pillars aren't exactly something that you see all the time. So you have this gigantic place that she built. She built the house, this gigantic house. Second, she goes and she kills a beast. And meat at that time was rare. And it was for special occasions. You don't just go slaughter an animal for any reason. So this is a very special occasion. Meat is rare. She goes and she slaughters a beast. She mixes wine. And she's mixing the wine with spices and with different fragrances to enhance the pleasure and just like the taste of the wine. She's not watering it down or trying to stretch it out. She's trying to make it more fragrant, more palatable. She's sparing no expense for this meal. Now compared to Lady Folly, she has stolen water and bread eaten in secret. All right, so if we're trying to contextualize this meal for our day, imagine if I went and got the most expensive meat out there on the market. Right? Maybe the most expensive prime rib out there. Maybe like you know, this Wagyu or what, Kobe beef prime rib. And it seems like such a, you know, like, and then you go and you, this dry-aged Kobe beef prime rib. That just sounds expensive. I don't know if anyone even does that, right? But that sounds super expensive, right? So let's just go with that one. So you got this expensive cut of meat. And then I go and buy a whole bunch of wine, multiple bottles of very expensive wine. Whether, you know, like a Screaming Eagle, right? That's like a vineyard out in Napa Valley. Like their wines are like $4,000 a bottle, right? So I got all this very expensive wine, very expensive meat. And then if I come and ask, he's like, hey, come and enjoy this meal. I'm just sparing no expense, right? This is a thousand plus thousands of dollar meal. If we were to contextualize Lady Folly's meal, well, it's just water and bread. It's not that hard. I think everyone understands what it's like. No one really typically eats, you know, drinks water and eats bread for a meal. That's something that I feel like what I see in the movies when someone's in jail, right, in prison. And so it's not exactly, I mean, it's water, it's bread, it's something simple, nothing lavish. And so you have these two different meals presented in front of you. What are you going to pick, right? You got the expensive meal and then you got the, well, you have the simple meal. And so, and then Lady Wisdom, she goes out and she sends these young women to go out and invite all those who are uncommitted to join them. Right? She sends out these young ladies and they proclaim out, hey, whoever is simple, come and have this meal with Lady Wisdom, this magnificent feast that she so carefully prepared. Come into the house that she so carefully built, this gigantic mansion with this huge spread, this feast. While Lady Folly just sits in her chair, and she's just in her front porch yelling at whoever walks by her house, seeing if anybody's going to come and take the bait. I mean, that's literally what it says, right? She is in front of her house, sitting in a chair, and whoever's just coming by, she just come here. Right? And it just, she's portrayed as lazy, uncaring. Seems even a little bit grumpy, like the old grumpy lady that just sits in her front porch yelling at everybody. Yelling in front of her house. When I was in high school, I remember our family decided to take a family vacation to Las Vegas. And this is my first time in Las Vegas. So I found the place absolutely fascinating. The bright lights, big hotel, fancy meals, seemed pretty glorious. And at the hotel we were staying at, there's this underground area with a whole bunch of little shops. And so I felt pretty independent at that time. I was in high school, so I decided to venture down there myself. And I was walking by all these different shops and stores. One store caught my eye. The magic shop. And so this man outside, magically, making these cards float. And he's like doing this thing, right? And it just seemed so cool. I was incredibly curious. So what he was actually doing, he was selling the knowledge of how this works in a kit that came with it. I couldn't help my curiosity. I just had to know, how did this thing work? So I bought the kit, spent $20-something. It was very expensive, but I was just so curious. So I bought it. They brought us into a back room, and I found out how it worked. And I was completely devastated. I was just like, are you joking me? This is what I spent my money on? I felt like I just threw away a whole bunch of cash. Let me just go ahead and tell you how it works so you don't go buy it yourself, alright? It is literally a very thin piece of yarn. Very, very thin piece of yarn with like some sticky tack at the end. Gum, alright? That's pretty much what it is, alright? And so what you do, what he advises us to do is you take that little sticky tack, you want to hide it on your thumbnail, so whenever you ask somebody for a credit card, you just bring it to, you take the credit card, and you inconspicuously stick the sticky tack on to the card, and then you spin it, and then you spin it with the yarn, and ooh, look, it magically floats. And I said to myself, I paid $20 for a bunch of string and some sticky tack. This is terrible, right? I felt like you wasted a bunch of money. And clearly this man did not care for my own magic ambitions. He was just there to sell me a product and did not care if I ever used it again. This is like Lady Folly. Sitting, not even standing, in front of her door, screaming to come in. Got stolen water. I got bread eaten in secret. It'll be great. And everyone who takes her invitation ends up dining with ghosts. And death. That sounds incredibly bleak. Sounds like those who actually accept her offer don't leave satisfied, but actually leave going, well, that was a mistake. Yet Lady Wisdom, representing Jesus Christ, is intentional. Deliberate in wooing you, finding you, laying out the best meal out there that money can buy. And the food represents is actually wisdom itself. We've seen chapters 1 through 8 is just platters of rich wisdom being offered. This is not the cheap stuff. This is the good stuff. This wisdom is a wisdom that leads to life, not death. She is giving the good stuff. And yet, many of us are skeptical about this. All right, Lady Wisdom doesn't call us into death, but into life. But will we follow her today? We're so intrigued by Lady Folly. And when we take a step back and look in comparison, it's clear that Lady Folly has nothing on Lady Wisdom. Yet time and time again, we take Lady Folly's bait. Will you follow and take Lady Wisdom's calling today for your life? Will you see the folly that leads and the death that leads in Lady's folly's calling? But also for us this morning who call themselves Christ followers, who continually choose to live in Lady Wisdom's house, we have a role in this as well. Our role to play is in proclaiming and calling out to those around us that there is a great and magnificent feast of life and wisdom in Jesus. We are the young women Jesus sends out to the world to embody His love, mercy, goodness, and intentionality. That He goes and seeks and saves the lost. Yet many of us have chosen to forego that grand responsibility in sharing Jesus and decide to dwell and camouflage ourselves with Lady Father. You see, this is not just a story of two women, Wisdom and Folly, but it's a fork in the road between life and death. And so for some of us this morning, we have chosen death time and time again. And for us, the question is, has that choice reaped you benefit? Or are you sitting in ashes of death and despair? But for those who have chosen Christ time and time again, that we say, yes, we dwell in the house of the Lord. We dwell in Lady Wisdom's house. You see that she sends out the young women to call out to those who have chosen to remain uncommitted. Yet so many of us camouflage ourselves in this world as Lady Folly and choose to stay quiet when the world needs to hear that there is life offered and not just simply death. Will we choose to embark on that great responsibility, knowing that it's not just a responsibility, but it's life-saving? Second, we see that in these two passages, in these two women, Lady Wisdom, Lady Folly, Lady Wisdom invites us to rich intimacy, while Lady Folly offers instant gratification. We see that commentators say that when a woman invites a man to dinner to her house back in that day, contextually, for their own culture, has some erotic overtones. Now I know that might sound a little unsettling, a little uncomfortable. But what's ultimately being portrayed here is that Lady Wisdom is inviting us into rich intimacy. There's a deep satisfaction here. And she is currently portrayed as this young man's wife. If you remember, Lady Wisdom is the person that you are called to remain faithful to. She is portrayed as this young man's wife. And there is this rich and deep intimacy that she will not share with another. And so in verse 6, she says, leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Right? Rich and deep intimacy means that one has to leave their ways behind to fully jump into this relationship. You can't straddle that line. And so Lady Wisdom is calling us to leave our simple ways and live. Yet, Folly offers no such relationship. She only offers instant gratification. She doesn't care about the consequences. Wisdom calls us to surrender our ways for her. Folly says you can have both. She says, this is exciting. The water is not just water. It's stolen water. How much more exciting it is to drink water, but water that's stolen. Like, you can do something bad here as well. Who cares? Like, and this is not just regular bread. It's bread we can eat in secret. I don't know why that is so exciting, but just like, look, Well, soul and water, seek your bread. But then it's appealing for us. And so she doesn't count the consequence. She's not telling you to leave anything. She goes, you can have both. You can keep on doing whatever you want. Come in and enjoy this for a little while. But we see with Lady Folly, it says, like, no, the person that comes, they don't know that they're eating among the dead. That's just the picture that came to my mind when I read this was actually the Haunted Mansion in the ride at Disneyland, where you see this picture of like this big feast, and there's all these ghosts dancing. It's a creepy, creepy scene, right? For me, it's incredibly creepy. My, anybody want to dine with the whole bunch? You know, like, what she's saying is that this leads to death, right? The death of Sheol, the death of Hades. That's exactly what it means. And so she's like, hey, don't worry. You get what it's instant gratification. Don't worry about the consequences. Just come and enjoy. But remember, the choices we make have consequences for tomorrow. And what she's trying to say is like, don't worry about the consequences for tomorrow. Just enjoy today. And so for a lot of us this morning, it's easy for us to just take that bait. See, we're absolutely in a day and age where we want rich intimacy. Everybody wants rich intimacy. And that's not even a time for today. Everybody desires rich intimacy. Good relationships. Close relationships. But oftentimes, in this day and age, the rich intimacy of relationship is replaced by instant gratification. Time and time again. See, I personally have seen on multiple accounts of two people, they look like a couple, it's usually this man and this woman, and they're going out and they're having dinner together, and they're not talking to each other. But in fact, they're sitting across each other, but they're looking at their phones. I've seen this so many times, I'm no longer even surprised by it. And now it's not even a couple. I've seen families where you see a husband, a wife, and their two kids, and everybody is on their phone. And if you look closely enough, you might wonder, why are they on their phone? Many of them actually are scrolling through Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. Or any of the social media accounts that are supposed to connect you to other people. People have come together only desiring to try to find relationships on their phone. While deep intimacy is right in front of them, they have chosen to take what's instantly gratifying. And yet statistics show time and time and time and time again, social media, which gives an illusion of connection and intimacy, leaves people more empty, lonely, and depressed. Those are statistics out there that prove that time and time again. And see, the same for us. Many of us desire and want rich intimacy with God. Yet we're so unwilling to leave our simple ways behind. So we settle with Lady Folly, who we feel gives us both. But in reality, we get neither. And we actually end up more empty, more lonely, more depressed. And I've conversations time and time again where people say they feel as if God is not near and they don't experience the presence of God in their lives, yet by their ways and actions they continue to dwell in the death house of Lady Folly. Well, that kind of answers the question why there's no deep intimacy if you're living in the wrong house. Scripture is calling us to leave Lady Folly, leave your simple ways behind, and dwell in the rich intimacy in the house of Lady Wisdom. C.S. Lewis captures this idea magnificently in his sermon, The Weight of Glory, when he says this: if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the gospel, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. So many of us have allowed Lady Folly's lies to creep into our lives. Whether it is the way we make decisions about where we live, or what we buy, or how we should see our spouse, or how we raise our kids, or what our priorities are in life, or how we should even see church, or how we should see our own relationship with God, many of us have taken Lady Folly's advice. We have chosen to take the easy way out. We have chosen to say that I will trust in my own wisdom, my own ways. I know what's best for me, instead of submitting to what God says what's best for us. And so now many of us are sitting in the consequences of that, and then we are confused. Why are we here today? And wisdom is calling out to say, drop those things, leave those ways behind, and follow me. Follow the wisdom found in Scripture. So maybe you don't need to have those things that you think will make you happy, or maybe you need to drop some of those relationships that makes you think will make you happy. Or maybe you should stop chasing the wealth of this world because you think that would make you happy. But instead, what does it look like for us to cling to Christ and go, this is my true joy? So what if you don't get into the college you desire? Does that mean God has abandoned you? No, that's not what Scripture says. But yet so many of us have taken the bait and the hook that this is what where my true joy lies, and we have abandoned the cross, and we abandoned Christ, because we said, you know what makes me really happy is when I have this relationship and have this much money in my bank account, when these situations are right, when there is peace in this area, or when there's quiet in this area, when I get to go on this vacation, when things are easy and comfortable for me here. And so we have started chasing this dream, and we end up dwelling and feasting with death herself. Wisdom invites us to rich intimacy. Jesus invites us to rich intimacy. And let that be enough for us as a church. And as I promised, we will go back to verse 7 and 12. I'll read it for us before, and I will wrap this up. It says, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abused, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, the years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. Question for us this morning is, are you going to be the arrogant scoffer and scoff at Lady Wisdom's offer? Or will you be the humble wise man who accepts and follows? You see, the father, he's in the middle of teaching his son these two ladies, and he brings up the scoffer and wise man. And you see the difference between the simple and the scoffer. The simple hasn't made up his mind yet. Yet the scoffer is the one that mocks those who tries to convince him that folly leads to death. That's what the scoffer does. And the father has harsh words for the scoffer. He says, don't even bother with the scoffer. You'll get nothing but attacks and excuses. How many of us are like that this morning? When those who try to correct you, all you have are attacks and excuses for your actions. He'll try to change the subject, try to make it about something else. Maybe try to turn it back and say, it's actually about you and the things that you've said and the things that you've done. He says, don't reprove a scoffer. He would hit you. All you get back, he goes, you might even get an injury. Scoffer might hit you. He's like, why are you telling me these things? And he punches you. Who knows, right? He goes, don't try to correct a scoffer. You get nothing out of it. A scoffer won't listen to you. Right? How many of us ever feel like there's people in our lives that we can't tell what they're doing wrong because they'll just tell you how wrong you are? And then he compares them to the wise man. The one who actually welcomes rebuke and correction. He'll love you for it. And all this is wrapped up not in your wisdom, not in my wisdom, but in God's wisdom. And this is God's wisdom. The wisdom is the fear of the Lord. He's the beginning of wisdom. We're not just comparing whose wisdom is better. We're saying this is God's wisdom. Will we follow God's wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we talked about this idea of fear of the Lord. There's an awe to the holiness, but there's a the trembling and terror that's involved. It's like standing in front of the Grand Canyon. There's a fear in the sense that this is amazing and I can't believe how beautiful this is, but there's also a fear like if I take one wrong step, I'm going to die. Right? I'm going to just fall off this cliff. There's a healthy terror. And he goes, this is where wisdom began, when we actually fear God and listen to Him. That we don't just go, oh, God is great, man. But there's a fear like, I better listen to Him. And we see some of the natural consequences of wisdom. And we talk about this. These are some natural consequences. Not promises, but consequences. Long life. Now, it doesn't guarantee long life, but those who fear the Lord, they typically will be able to put themselves in situations that will avoid the issues that will plague people that will end up shortening their lives. They won't be in certain places. They won't be doing certain things. They won't be around during certain times that making wise choices could potentially prolong their life. But here's the point, or here's the question for us this morning as we wrap this up. Are you wise? Are you the wise man? And imagine this. Look at this. The wise man is the one that actually listens to rebuke. The wise man is the one that actually realizes that he doesn't have all the answers. The wise man is not wise in his understanding per se, but wise in the humility of accepting wisdom. Or are you this arrogant scoffer? And here's the thing, and here's what I want all of us to hear this morning. You see, it's not whether it's about me or you. If you're wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. Scripture says in verse 12, the consequences are yours. Whether you're wise, you reap that. No one else reaps that. If you scoff, you reap that as well. And so will you be wise or will you be a scoffer? Are you willing to leave your way and live and follow Jesus' wisdom and way? Will you turn from your path of your own sin, your selfishness, your own self-independence, or your own self-righteousness, thinking that you have it all, or we turn to Jesus and His path of faith? Because in the end, the greatest benefactor of embracing, following, and listening to wisdom, it's yourself. That's what Scripture says. So this morning I implore you, Scripture implores you, Jesus implores you, leave your simple ways behind. Run from Lady Folly's house and dwell in the house of wisdom, the house of the Lord. Dwell in Jesus' wisdom today. Let us pray.